You know, we read with amazement the miracles that Jesus performed while on this earth. Even the very first one of turning the water into wine, healing the official's son at Capernaum, the blind man by the pool of Siloam, raising Lazarus from the dead. And as he went about doing these things and teaching his word, he was spreading popularity of himself throughout the region. Everybody wanted to know this Christ. Everybody wanted to follow him. Everybody wanted to see these miracles that he was doing, hear the words that he had to say. And now we come to this particular miracle that Bill read about earlier in this morning's service. We find here that Jesus has arrived in Capernaum. Multitudes of people are following him. They want to hear his words. They want to witness the things that he is doing. And so they're crowding around him to hear the word of God. So Jesus begins to teach the people, and what he does, he actually gets into Peter's boat. And he launches out a little way from the shore where everybody can see him and everybody can hear him. And he begins to teach the people from Peter's boat. But now what I want to focus on today is what took place after his lesson to the people there on the shore. We find an unusual event taking place. Jesus is going fishing. Now, you know, this is something we don't think about when we think about Jesus. Jesus goes fishing. But that's exactly what he's doing here. He's going to go fishing with Peter. Now, we don't think of him as a sportsman, particularly a fisherman. We think of him, if we was going to think of him as anything other than God's son, we'd think of him as a carpenter. Because Jesus' earthly father was a carpenter. And in all probability, he taught Jesus that trade, so Jesus probably knew the carpenter trade well. But yet we see here, Jesus is going fishing. He gets out on the water in the boat, and he tells Peter, I want you to go out deeper into the water, and I want you to cast your nets for a catch. Now I want to tell you right now, Jesus' purpose wasn't just to go out into the water and throw out the nets. The purpose for this trip was to catch fish. There wasn't a possibility that he was going to catch fish. There wasn't a probability that he was going to catch fish. He was going to catch fish. Peter's net is going to be filled so full that they cannot handle the amount of fish that is about to be brought in. So they are going to catch fish. Now, we didn't know that from the very beginning. So what I want to do now is I want to take the rest of this story, the second part of what Bill has already read to us, and I want us to look at three different things that took place on this fishing trip. Number one, I want us to take a look at Peter's action. When Jesus said, I want you to go out into the deep water, and I want you to throw your nets in, and we're going to catch fish. Well, the first action of Peter was one of disbelief, because he said, Master, we have toiled all night. We've been out here all night, and we have not caught anything. We have toiled. Now, if you go to the Greek dictionary and you look up the word toil, it means kapiao, which simply means they have been working until they have become fatigued. They have been laboring hard and they have become weary from trying so hard to catch fish. We have toiled all night long, no fish. But then it was this second thing that Peter said. But at your word, I will let down the nets. Jesus, we've been out here all night long. We have fished. We have thrown those nets out. We have done everything we know to do, and we have not caught a fish. But at your word, I'll let down the nets. My friends, this is a wonderful statement by Peter. Because what Peter is doing here is he is actually sacrificing his own practical knowledge of fishing to the authoritative word of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, Peter could have looked at Jesus with this disbelief that he had to begin with. He could have looked at Jesus and said, look, I'm the fisherman here. I'm a professional fisherman. I know what I'm doing. I know where to go catch fish. I know when to go catch fish. I know how to catch fish. There are no fish out here. You need to go back home and play with your hammer and nails. But Peter didn't say that, did he? He said, at your word, I will let down the net. Now, Peter's expectations is not the key here. When he said, I will let down the net, he still didn't believe there were going to be any fish because he'd already been out there. There were no fish there. But rather, it was his submission to Jesus that made all the difference in the world. And when Peter and those that were with him put out those nets, they caught so many fish that the nets began to break. And so he calls for his partners, James and John, who were in the other boat, to come over and to help them. And those boats became so filled, both of them, with fish that they began to sink. Now that was the very last thing that Peter was expecting on this fishing trip. In fact, it would have been the last thing he would have expected from any fishing trip because something like this has never happened before. It happened just this way because Peter's action was one of submission. Submission to God is the answer. I mean, think about it for a minute. Go back to the Old Testament. Naaman. He is told to go dip 7 times in the River Jordan to be cleansed of leprosy. Do you believe that he would have been cleansed of leprosy if he had only went to the Jordan and dipped once or twice or even 6 times? No. He had to completely submit to God's will. It took that 7th dip in the Jordan River for Naaman to be cleansed of his leprosy. Well, what about Jericho? Those massive walls of Jericho that was virtually impenetrable. What if the children of Israel had marched around that city 6 times and shouted? Those walls would not have fallen. They had to submit to God's will. God said, march around it 7 times and it will fall. It's not going to fall after 6. It's going to fall after 7. Peter, you need to go deep. You need to throw out your net again. The results will be different this time. And he did. And the results were different. That's why Peter caught the fish. Not because he's a great fisherman. And he may have been a great fisherman. But it was because he submitted to the will of God. That was Peter's action. And that's why it worked. Now, let's look at Peter's reaction. When he sees all of this. When Peter and the others, when they saw the fish coming out of that water, when they saw them boats being filled, when he saw that they were beginning to sink, he fell down at the knees of Jesus and cried, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." He realized who he was dealing with. Now, if you study the life of Peter, humility is not one of his traits. I mean, this is the same Peter who can be very impulsive, very quick to act. This is the same Peter who can be aroused to anger and to action. This is the same Peter who, as we like to say, his mouth will go into motion before his mind goes into gear. We all have that problem from time to time, don't we? Yeah. But when he found himself confronted with the supremacy of Jesus Christ, Peter, no doubt, began to maybe to think about his own weaknesses and shortcomings and realize that Jesus is the one that he needs to follow. Now, this is not the first time this has ever happened. It happened over on Mount Sinai, Exodus chapter 20. Moses has gone upon the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, the tablets of stone. Verse 18 says, "Now the people were witnessing the thunderings and the lightning and flashing and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. And then they said to Moses, 'You speak with us, we will hear. But let not God speak to us, lest we die.'" They feared God. It was out of fear. And they were afraid of what was going to happen to them. They knew they were standing before God. They knew it was the same God that had delivered the 10 plagues on Egypt. They knew it was the same God who literally destroyed the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. And they were fearful of him. When Peter dropped to his knees and said, "Lord, get away from me, for I'm a sinful man," he feared his master. This same thing also happened over on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah has told the children of Israel, "We need to make a choice. Either God is God or Baal is God. And you're going to make a decision today as to who you are going to serve." And the test was for fire to come down from the gods to consume an altar and the sacrifice that is on it. And it said, "So Ahab sent all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, 'How long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, follow him.' And the people answered him not a word." So now comes the test. And the prophets of Baal, they cried, and they cried out all day, even into the night. They cut themselves with blades because Baal was not responding to their pleas. And then Elijah came out and prayed to God. And the fire from God came down from heaven and consumed the altar and the sacrifice and 12 barrels of water, which, by way, if the 12 barrels of water that is mentioned in this story would be about what you would find in an average-sized swimming pool, and turned it into dust. And when the people saw it, verse 39, they fell on their faces and they cried out, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." They realized who they were dealing with. And they were in fear of Him. And again, when Peter dropped to his knees, he knew who he was dealing with. My friends, God is fully aware of our imperfections, our weaknesses, our mistakes. But yet it's thrilling to know that He also sees our strengths. And on that day, He was looking at Peter, and He saw strength. Not only did Jesus not leave Peter, but He asked Peter to follow Him because He knew what a great asset Peter would be in His work. So that was Peter's action. And that was Peter's reaction to the miracle of Jesus. Now let's look at the mission that Jesus gave to him. In the next verse, in verse 10 of the text, Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." These men, Peter, James, John, brought into their boat with the biggest single catch of anything they had ever experienced. But then you know what they did? They left it all there. They got up and they walked away from it. And they followed Jesus. They left their families. They left their profession. They left their possessions. Basically, their way of life. And followed this one who had made such a tremendous impact on them. Now, they're not afraid to make a change. They're not afraid to be active in the Lord's service. They're not afraid to put God first because look what God has already done. And now they're going to fish for souls. And the abundance of their physical catch that they had made today is just an insignificant thing compared to what they would do when they began to work for the Lord. They became fishers of men. So what about you? Will you become fishers of men? The apostles now have a new mission. We have been given that same mission. We are the ones to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things. We are the ones to go out and proclaim Christ to a lost and dying world. In spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our frailties, in spite of our shortcomings, we are the ones to do this. And we have been chosen by God to do this. So we need to fish for souls. We need to take the gospel to the others. And always keep this in mind, my friends. This is not a suggestion. This is a command. You notice when Jesus called Peter and those other disciples that day, he didn't say, if you'd like, would you please follow me? No, he said, follow me. This is what you need. You need to follow me. And I'm telling everyone in this building, we need to follow Jesus. Christian friend, if you're not giving God your very best, you have an opportunity to change that today. You can cast your nets again, and God has promised a harvest if we will cast our nets. So if you find that you have not been giving God your best, repent of that. Get back into this fishing occupation and fish for men. And if you're not a Christian, I have to tell you this morning, my friends, God needs fishermen. First of all, he needs you to come out of sin, to put your soul in a safe place, and then to take your knowledge and your understanding of Jesus Christ and to share it with others. Tell them this blessed gospel that can save them and get them out of sin as well. And you can help catch men. And you can help free them from sin. Cast your nets. The catch will be great. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, please come while we stand and sing.